The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Coming up, Ron and Hope Carpenter describe the arduous fight for their marriage after adultery.
I remember leaning over onto the desk and that ugly cry, you know, that ugly cry. And Ron said, oh, no, no, no. He said, I don't know what this means. He said, I really don't know what this looks like or means. I said, but I do. I said, that's all I needed. God gave me my miracle. And it was that day that we started our restoration.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson, and Tammy is not with me today because she is actually overseas. You're going to see some very exciting opportunities in the future with her. But today, we have something special for you. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're facing. But I can tell you this. If you want victory today and in your life, you're going to have to fight for it. And that's not bad news. That's good news. And we've got some encouragement for you today. My guests are Ron and Hope Carpenter. And Hope has a new book out. It's called If You Don't Fight, Then You Don't Win. And so there she's putting it right out there. But they've got a story where they have had to fight. Fight for their church, fight for their marriage, fight for their very souls. So you're going to be encouraged as you listen to them. And I invite you just to lean in and accept God's hope and word for you today. Ron and Hope, great to have you on the program.
Yeah, so good to be here, Randy. Thank you.
Yeah, now many people saw you a few months ago with Tammy, right? And by the way, if you missed that program, you can go to lifetoday.org, catch up on all the programs. But for people that don't really know sort of some of the struggles you guys have faced, give us just a brief version of that.
Oh, goodness. We don't have all day, do we?
I know.
Because it
know.
Feels like...
It's have,
yeah, yeah. Have you ever felt like, you know, your whole life has been a struggle? And I feel like for us, it seems like everything that we have tried to do, endeavored to do for God, you know, we get that John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, wind in our face.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, once we have embraced that there is... You know, not just roses popping up all over your path when you say yes to Jesus, that you do have an adversary, that we have an enemy. Sometimes the enemy is us and our dumb mistakes, right. And some of that has been our story. You know, you just embrace it and say, you know, I am on this journey and I'm going to win. Mm-hmm. Because the other option is to what? To fail, to just give up. And we're not going to do that. And we have had... We have had some journey, haven't we?
We've seen a lot of failure, and you hear about it in the news, on social media, within churches. Now, this whole thing almost completely fell apart.
Oh, yeah. It did.
Tell us what happened.
Well, it started back, honestly. I mean, if we had time, I could go back. Had no idea, Randy, that the way I was raised would really affect who I was as an adult. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, when I changed my last name, changed my address, and got that ring on my finger, everything was going to be absolutely glorious. And for a while it was, but I could feel the inferno kind of growing on the inside of me, the anxiety, the perfection, you know, feeling like I had to be perfect at everything, smile at everything, never show any feelings. And in about 15 years, about 2004, I woke up one day and just really exploded, just like, I can't live like this anymore. Didn't know what that meant, but just knew that what I was feeling on the inside was coming out, and it's going to come out sideways in an ugly way.
Let me give some context to that. You know, she had never spoken with me about the things, about the traumatic things that had happened to her. When she met me, I was already a preacher boy. I was already in Bible school, and she didn't want me to know, you know, the downside, the dark side of the things that she had been raised in. So I had no clue. Mm. You know, I just knew I had this woman that was changing, and I didn't know what was wrong, and I didn't know how to fix it. And the fact is, we grew a very large church. God blessed us in a very small city. Mm. The city had 80,000 people, and we had 22,000 members. So a quarter of the people went to our church.
Wow.
And so that only magnified. Mm-hmm. I mean, we lived in a glass house and everybody had an opinion, and everywhere we went,
it's a lot of pressure. Knew.
So what was in her, when you got a cracked foundation and you start putting more weight on it, it just splits.
Yeah.
And so that was a little bit about what was happening, the pressure cooker in her life.
Yeah.
What did that split look like?
Mm. Well, it looked like that day I went and bought 3 secular CDs. Ooh, that was taboo in my world. I bought a 6-pack of beer and a bikini. Mm-hmm. Had never done that up until 35. And it was my way of saying, you know, I need to figure out life myself. I need to figure out what's right for Hope. I need to figure out what's wrong for Hope. Not what my mom says, my dad says, the church says, the denomination, my husband, all of that. Because I'd never been allowed, honestly, even in my teenage years, to make any decisions.
Yeah. If it had stopped there,
right,
you probably would have had no problems,
but,
right?
You know, sin doesn't stop there, does it?
Is that what it was? Was it acting out rebellion?
I think it was. I really do. I believe, you know, anytime we want to do life our own way and not God's way, we're on a slippery slope. And so ended up in places I shouldn't have been, with people I shouldn't have been. I was unfaithful to my husband. This was 9 years back and forth of just trying. And then imagine the pressure, Randy, of loving Jesus, but doing that too.
Yeah.
Because I really did love Jesus. Yeah. I really was committed to Him and wanted to serve Him, but I was so confused with who I was as a human, as a person, and what was right and what was wrong. And it was just a terrible time.
What's I say funny, and I mean that more like odd, is that we do that kind of thing, searching for some kind of happiness, but that distance that's inside is the most miserable place,
awful.
Is it not?
It was awful.
What you run to find the peace usually becomes a heavier weight
it
than
does.
What you're running from.
Yeah.
And I think she found that to happen in her life, and then this 9-year period. You got to understand, I loved my wife. I'm not one of these guys. I love one person. I'm getting married one time, and I adored this woman. But something was bad wrong. Mm-hmm. And so then I had to try to be a buffer, you know, I because I'm trying to cover her while she heals or turns around or whatever it is that needed to happen. But I didn't want it to, you know, get out to the church public, because our ministry, at least in that area at the time, was so massive. During the middle of all this, we went on TBN. We started going on international TV. So the intensity just got worse. While she was spiraling in a downward spiral, we were exploding.
Yeah.
And so you got this best of times but worst of times happening at the same time.
Such a plan of the enemy.
And
he's so strategic.
But I knew something was wrong. I didn't know what was wrong, but I knew something was wrong. She would be asleep at night, and I would lay my hands, I wouldn't touch her, just overhead, and I'm like, God, bring her back to me. I don't know what's going on. I don't know where she is. I don't know what she's thinking, but bring my wife back to me.
I have such a good husband. One day I want to be like Ron when I grow up. I really do.
Well, so, you know, Scripture says that men to love your wife as Christ loved the church. And, you know, the church's story is one of waywardness and unfaithfulness.
Is.
And, I mean, what a picture of love right there. I mean, without going into all the details, what was the book you wrote where you do go into the details?
The Most Beautiful Disaster.
Okay, The Most Beautiful Disaster. So if someone wants to read, you know, through it, just to try to get some help. But at what point did the love of your husband, of Christ, and this idea of, okay, we're not going to let this thing just be destroyed.
Right.
We're going to fight to restore, fight to heal, fight to win. Well, was there a specific turning point, or was it a process?
Well, I was just totally miserable. I had reached a place of just utter desperation, just sick of myself, sick of the places I'd been, the choices I'd made, sick of hurting my husband. My family didn't want to do it, but didn't know why I did. If I could have explained it, you know, it wouldn't have been as maddening, but I didn't know why I was doing what I was doing. Mm-hmm. So in 2013, I came to Him. It just was crumbling. I came to Him and thought, you know, He's such a great man. He's going to help me. I'm going to come clean, and I'm going to tell Him everything, and He's going to fix this for me. And I told Him, and He said, you got 30 minutes. Get your stuff and get out. But Randy, that's why I wrote that book, The Most Beautiful Disaster, To the world, it was the most horrible thing that could happen. But to me, it is where I hit rock bottom and where I ran right into the face of the unconditional love of Jesus that I had never known. Mm-hmm. I'd only known conditional love, and I didn't understand God's unconditional love, that He loved me for who I was, not for what I did or didn't do right. And it radically changed my life in 2013. And we struggled. We were going to get a divorce.
That was a whole different story then.
Yeah, Ron's well, not doing well. I'm doing good. Ron's not doing well.
You understand that 9 years is a long time.
Yeah.
This wasn't a summer. This was almost a decade. Mm. And the toll.
Yeah.
The toll of covering, the toll of being the buffer, the toll of suspecting but not knowing.
The betrayal, all of it.
Yes, and then when you finally get the knowledge of what you've been suspecting, and then all the collateral damage, the bomb goes off, the humiliation, the half the church walks out, and you know, social media blows you up, and your kids won't speak, and they go into school and getting heckled, and they run up and slam the doors when they get home and won't talk to you. I mean, it was awful, with a capital A.
Yeah.
It was awful. And I loved her so much, that's why it hurt so bad.
Yeah.
That I found a place for her to receive ministry. But as far as I'd had no more energy. Mm-hmm. And the thought of climbing that mountain of rebuilding trust after the 9 years that we had already been through, I couldn't see it. So didn't want anybody else, didn't desire anybody else, but I just like, I can't
wanted to
do
be
this.
Done.
I had, in other words, here's where I was. Loving you hurts too bad.
Yeah.
Loving you's painful. And so I just like, you know, I want you to be better. I know something's wrong. She was emotionally in a terrible place.
Yeah.
And I put her somewhere, and I paid for that, but I let her know that as far as our marriage, I no longer seek to reconcile.
Yeah. And I completely understand that. I'm sure she does too.
I do.
But I also know that there are times when you got to turn somebody over to God and just be like,
I was there.
Yeah.
I was there.
I can't
do this anymore.
So when we talk about if you don't fight and then you don't win, what happened in between to get you back to where you're willing to even have the strength and the desire to fight for a marriage?
Right. Well, I got my mojo back. You know, when I was just overwhelmed by the love of the Lord, it just rejuvenated me. It really did. It restored all the brokenness in almost a day, really. And then it was a journey of, you know, recovery and changing my mind and getting strength and learning new patterns of doing things.
Stayed there, what, 7 months?
I stayed there 9 months.
9 months?
I stayed at Living Waters Ministry in North Carolina for 9 months. And I just really was determined. I said, you know, I'm not going to allow the enemy to win, because I know that's the plot and plan of the enemy, is to destroy our home and destroy our witness and our testimony and people's lives and our children. And I said, you know, if God's doing this supernatural work in me, I'm believing for a supernatural work in our marriage. Mm-hmm. So I did. I hunkered down and believed for it. I began to pray and fast and have people pray and fast with me. And I would write my children. We have 3 children. I would write them letters, individual letters, every single day and mail them at the end of the week. And in every one, I would tell them, we're believing God for a miracle. Don't you listen to your daddy. We're believing God for a miracle. And we did.
Well, and you know, it'd be one thing if he was... His posture was, you know, you go get yourself well, we'll bring you back. But I mean, you had to have God do a work in your heart.
Yeah.
I was done. And I was like really done. And she knows me. I'm the kind of guy, my lines don't move. When I make a decision, it doesn't change. So she knew what she was dealing with. I had a divine encounter. I try not to get super spiritual about things, but the fact is I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, and I believe in divine encounters. And it's probably the only thing that I respected enough that could have changed me. I had a Jacob experience where I just wrestled with God.
Yeah.
The next morning, you'd have thought I'd been in 10 fights and come off a 10-day drunk. The next morning, I called my secretary, canceled all my appointments. I was miserable. I'd been up all night. I was screaming at the ceiling. I mean, literally one of these made-for-movie type things. I had this all-night misery encounter with God. And finally, screaming at the ceiling, I was like, what do you want me to do? And he said, I want you to call her. And you got to understand, we weren't speaking.
And if we were fighting.
Yeah, the few times we had to communicate, it wasn't good. And he said, I want you to call her and tell her you will not abandon her. Now, I'm going to tell you that's something I did by faith, because none of the feelings were there to say that. I did not want to do that. And tell them what was going on when you got that call.
Well, that had been about 2 months into the separation, and
you're starting to lose a little bit of hope.
I was losing some hope at that point, because he was not wavering. And I had lost 23 pounds. I was just getting very desperate. That was from fasting and getting desperate. And that day, I went on a walk, and it was a little country road, and it was in November. And I said, Lord, would you send a chicken truck? Because that's what was out there around the
chicken
corner.
Pounds, yeah.
And just kill me. Could you just take me out? I'm causing these people too much pain. You know, nothing's working. Could you just take me out? And immediately, I saw a flower that had popped out of the concrete. And I saw this beautiful bird that had flown out of this old hay pasture. And he spoke to me and said, if I care for them, don't you know that I care for you and that I'm working when you don't know that I'm working? And immediately hope sprang back up in me. I turned around, started walking back to the house, and the pastor came and said, I've been looking for you. Ron's called. And I was like, oh, no, I just got my hopes up. Now he's calling. It's bad. Oh, what are you doing, God? So I went inside, tried to dry my face, and the Lord took me to the scripture. I said, God, you got to give me a word. And he took me to the scripture in Samuel where David was going to buy a field. And the guy was like, you know, you don't have to pay anything. You're the king. You don't have to pay anything. And he said, I will not offer anything to the Lord that does not cost me. And I said, God, what are you saying to me? I've done everything. He said, you've done everything but sow a seed. I said, God, I don't have anything. All I have is $1,000 to my name. I have $1,000 I put aside. I had no credit cards. I had no insurance. I had nothing. And he told me to give it to the people that I was staying with. So I went down there and I took the $1,000 and I told them the story, slid it across the table. I said, I'm believing for a miracle. Ron calls 5 minutes later and he said, told me the whole night, and he said, and I've called to tell you that I will not abandon you. And I just, I remember leaning over onto the desk and that ugly cry, you know, that ugly cry. And Ron said, oh, no, no, no. He said, I don't know what this means. He said, I really don't know what this looks like or means. I said, but I do. I said, that's all I needed. God gave me my miracle, and it was that day that we started our restoration.
Wow. Okay. There's so much more to this. I want you to know God has not abandoned you.
Absolutely.
I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you failed. I don't know who has failed you, but you feel like you're done, or you feel like that you're useless, that you just want to die. God, what a word from a husband to a wife, a husband who doesn't have it within himself. Say, I'm not going to abandon you. That's God. God's saying that to some of you right now. If you want to pick up that phone and have someone just pray with you, it doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter what you've been through. You may not even know what the future holds. But somebody will pray with you right now. Just pick that phone up. Call that number for some encouragement, because God will give you that ability to fight. Because he's already won the fight. And you're going to learn more about that on another program with Ron and Hope. But right now, you might just need that encouragement that Hope got on that day out of nowhere. God's with you. We have another opportunity that we're going to show you, because many of you have supported this outreach over the years of giving hope to people that have no hope, or it seems like they have no hope. And maybe you just need to reach beyond yourself today and be that lifeline for someone else. Watch this, and we'll tell you how you can give hope to another person today.
In rural Africa, When families don't have enough food to eat, it is the children who suffer the most. Sub-Saharan Africa has the highest mortality rate than any place in the world in children under 5 due to the effects of malnutrition. But in the midst of suffering, there are moments to celebrate.
I want you to meet Teresa, this young girl, just a month ago, was in this malnutrition clinic, literally fighting for her life. One of those children where it's just skin and bone, where it's a child that has no life in their eyes, that literally we are doing everything we can to try and save their life. And we knew with Teresa, like so many, that the chances are not always there that we can actually rescue their life. And yet, because of mission feeding, because of being there in this clinic, because of reaching Teresa in time, here she stands today, a young girl that is recovering, that is getting her strength back and is able to now continue living life. But there's so many in this country right now that we're not reaching. Children out in the villages, mothers who are telling us that they can't get to clinics, that they don't have food to feed their children, children that look like severe cases in malnutrition clinics that are right out there in the villages. If we're not able to reach them today, their story is not going to end like Teresa's. We need you to do everything you can do. We need the Friends of Life to open their hearts today and to give the very best gift they can give, because we have to reach more children here in Angola and save their lives.
You know, I love seeing the stories of children that have benefited from the mission feeding outreach. I don't know if you noticed, but in a lot of the pictures, you'll see a little building behind the line of children. That's because education, those are school buildings, education is a foundational part of the mission feeding outreach. Typically, we feed in the schools. The children go to school, they get something to eat. Well, why do we do that? Because mission feeding is not just about meeting the immediate need. It does that, but it's also about building for a future with a hope. And so what we're doing here is a program with vision. Over 350,000 children every single day on average receive that bowl of nutritious soup, and that's just to get them through the day. Oftentimes it's in areas where there has been a crisis, perhaps a famine, perhaps a flood, perhaps displacement from civil unrest, whatever the situation. We go in and hold them over until they can get back on their feet and can continue to build for their future. Now, that's a great thing, I think. A lot of organizations will do this, but let me tell you a key difference. We do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, we don't have requirements. If you're hungry, that's really the only requirement to receive that bowl of food. But when you're around people, when you're saving people's lives, they know. They sometimes will ask, and sometimes we have opportunities to go in and preach, just outright preach the gospel to people, but we can always demonstrate it through those works. That's what we're inviting you to be a part of, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to be the gospel in word and deed, not just to tell people about Christ or tell them about his love, but to show it to the people in need. That's why we want you to be a part of it. The more people participate, the more people are able to give, the more that we can reach. And believe me, the need is there, but I believe the solution is there, and I believe the solution is you. Right now, the situation is critical. Children are dying in clinics, and they don't need to. We need to reach them before they get to that point, before they get to the clinic. We do it through your participation. We do it through $30 that helps feed 3 children for the next 3 months. A gift of $50 feeds 5. $100 will help feed 10. Maybe you can give $1,000 and help feed 100 children just for the next few months. Whatever God has enabled you to do, whatever he's put on your heart to do, I pray that you'll do it right now. Pick up the phone or go online, however you prefer. Make the best gift you can towards mission feeding. Know that it will save lives, it will give them hope, it will give them a future, and it will be done in the name of Jesus Christ.
Right now, across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. Extreme drought and famine putting at risk thousands of lives means we must replenish food supplies immediately to keep feeding 350,000 children and help reach more people in desperate need. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send the Daily Life Devotional Calendar. This perpetual calendar has 365 days worth of scriptures and inspirational thoughts to remind you of the rest you can find in God's loving arms. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Light of Life desk lamp. Find comfort and encouragement from Jesus' words in John 8:12, displayed on this standalone acrylic desk lamp, perfect for home or office decor, as a reminder that Jesus is the light of the world. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
So many of you have fought with us over the years to save people's lives. And if you would like to join us, just go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can. You can be a part of this beautiful, glorious fight to give life and hope to so many people around the world. And listen, if you want to, you want your own copy of Hope's book, if you don't fight, then you don't win. Just request it with any gift that you make today. We'd love to send it to you. I appreciate you guys being so open and honest. I know that you have learned so much and come so far since all of that stuff came out. Would you guys join us for another program where we can really talk about and unpack some of the lessons you've
Absolutely.
Learned?
Absolutely.
Great. I look forward to it. I hope you will look forward to it. Come back. And if you're watching these online, you can go to lifetoday.org, see all the programs. But we'll see you again next time here on Life Today.
I think the enemy wanted to take Ron Carpenter out. I don't think he wanted to hurt him or inhibit him. I think he wanted to take him out.
The necessity of an enemy tomorrow.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.